Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley, 1380 KLIZ The Fan, 105.1 FM, also streaming at KLIZ.com, and find us on podcast at Lakes, Woods, and Irons. Colin McDonald with you, and the show brought to you in part by Shannon's Auto Body, brand new location in East Brainerd to better serve their customers, and Ernie's on Gull with the deck and patio seating and the unmatched Gull Lake view, open year-round at 11 o'clock, and once in a while you might even find myself and Chris Foley at Ernie's on Gull. Chris, we always pick the best week of the year to get started, the Saturday before the Masters, and we've done it again this year, and just a great time of year. It's opening day in baseball this week, and the Masters and the NCAA tournaments, hockey and basketball. It's a great time of year to be talking about sports.
Yeah, it's there's certainly a lot going on, and you know, winter is ending. What little winter we had in the Brainerd Lakes area, we kind of got kicked in the pants the last couple weeks with the snow we had, and kind of dashed our hopes of getting out real early. But yeah, it's a great time of the year, and you know, one of my favorite weeks of the year by far.
12 years of coverage of golf in the U.S. and once in a while across the pond, and of course a lot of local coverage for our local pros and teachers, which is great. I can't believe it's 12 years ago we started this, Chris.
Wow, that is hard to believe. I didn't realize it was that long.
We were so much younger then.
I'm not getting any older back. Hopefully you aren't either.
Right. And usually we've got you on the road this first event of the year, but you're not going to Augusta this year, which I know breaks your heart, but you've been there many, many times, and it's quite a week.
Yeah, it's only the third time in the last 25 years I haven't been there, and just made a decision. I needed a little needed to be home a little bit, and I thought I was hoping we would be open, and when we still may be. But I've been, since September 1st, I've been gone 13 weeks.
Oh, really?
And yeah, so I'm ready to be home for a while. And now I'm home until about mid-September when I go back to Scotland. But I spent 5 weeks in Scotland between the Walker Cup and being home a couple weeks, and then a month over there. And then I've spent 6 different weeks in Palm Springs, working out there at El Dorado Country Club, and then a couple other trips in between, once in Florida, a couple times in Georgia. So it's time to get going here in the great Brainerd Lakes area.
Right, and you're at Madden's now. We've got Glenn Hagberg coming up a little later in the show, and you and Glenn are colleagues at Madden's now, so that's kind of nice. Come full circle on that deal, haven't you?
Yeah, it's you know, I love the Brainerd Lakes area, and I had a great relationship with Craigans for 10 years. But it's really fun to be back at Madden's, kind of making full circle after spending 14 years here prior, and that's how I got to the Brainerd Lakes area from Iowa. Madden's hired me to open up the Classic, and was the head pro director of golf for 14 years.
Nice, yeah. I snuck away just not as often as you, but I got to Punta Cana about 3 weeks ago and played a Pete Dye course at the resort we were at, and that was fun. I got coupled with a couple from Quebec, French-speaking Quebec, so that was interesting. I didn't speak any French. They spoke a little more English, which is usually, it seems, the way of the world, so was handy. But it was fun to play. I didn't get in too many of Pete Dye's favorite things, the bunkers, so it wasn't too bad. I actually played pretty well. So first time out, sometimes you do play well.
That's right. You don't have any expectations, and when those expectations are low, you tend to free it up and play better.
The merger of the two tours over the, which hasn't really, they haven't merged yet, but I think I love the majors because the best players are going to be there, and I think for TV ratings, they need to do it more than just the four majors. But we'll start with the Masters and get about a dozen guys from LIV. I think the latest they did add Taylor Gooch, which I think was a good decision by the selection committee at Augusta.
Yeah.
He's not world ranked because they don't have ratings points, but clearly he's one of the best players in the world right now.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the best players. He obviously doesn't have the best PR team around him. but he's definitely one of the top players in the world. And I don't know if we're any closer to having the two LIV and the PGA Tour coming together, but we definitely need to get the best players playing together more often. And,
right.
We need to get rid of this fracture in the world of golf. And
it feels like if they had the four majors and then, I mean, you could make just very nice TV events if you did maybe four or five more during the course of the season or the both groups of players played together. I mean, the rivalry mm-hmm. would be fierce, and I think everybody wants to see Jon Rahm and Scottie Scheffler again, which is going to happen this week. So,
yeah, there's no question. It's the one thing it has done is the majors have always been elevated,
right?
But I think it's made the majors even more important. But it's a shame that what has happened over the course of the last 2 years in professional golf. They've lost a lot of people because it's become so much about the money, and it's really right now for most of the players it's all about the money, and I think the greed has lost a lot of people. And one of the great things about the game of golf is the traditions and the protocol and the civility of it. And
right.
A lot of that has really been fractured. So I hope that we can very quickly, that professional golf can become more unified again, and that the best players are playing with the best on a more regular basis, and we get rid of some of the garbage that's happened.
Yeah, it's been interesting. They've full swing has followed it pretty close on Netflix, which I'm sure you've been tuned into all those episodes. It's pretty close up look at how the guys are feeling, and it's very interesting.
Yeah, I haven't seen all the episodes yet, but what I have seen this season has been very good, and it's very insightful, and they do a great job with that, creating the story.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And if we get Rory coming down the stretch this week, that would make everybody feel good, I think.
that would be my favorite, to how it would end, but we'll see what happens.
All right, we'll be back with more. We've got a great guest, a friend of yours, Chris, from the past. Meg Atkins is going to join us.
Yeah, Meg is one of the producers at the Fried Egg and the Shotgun Start. They put out a lot of great content, podcasts, videos, website. They have golf events, and Meg's going to give us a little insight into the Augusta National Women's Amateur, which wraps up today in Augusta.
And we'll also be joined by Glenn Hagberg, head pro at the Classic at Madden's. So we'll be back with more. You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ and 105.1 FM. Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ and 105.1 FM. Also streaming at KLIZ.com. Find our podcast as well under Lakes, Woods, and Irons. Brought to you in part by Cragen's Legacy Courses, home of the new Tom Lehman 18 and the 2024 CRMC Classic. And the T-Hive, custom apparel for your business, event, team, or family, online at T-Hive.com. Chris, our first guest of the year, we'll let you handle the introductions.
Yeah, I want to introduce a good friend of mine, Meg Atkins. Meg is from Kansas City. She has some Brainerd ties with, she used to spend a lot of time here in the summer with her grandparents who had a home on the Pine Beach Peninsula. So she's very familiar with the area. But Meg is with one of the producers of the Fried Egg and the Shotgun Start. And welcome to the show, Meg.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you. It's good to be here. Thanks, Colin. Happy to join you guys.
So Meg, tell us, For listeners who don't know what the fried egg is or the shotgun started, two of my favorite podcasts and websites and some of the great content creators in golf. Give us a little rundown on what you guys do.
Yeah, fried egg is, it's grown from Andy Johnson, our founder, kind of started it as a newsletter to kind of combine everything going on in golf in one spot. And from that newsletter and a one-man show, it's grown now to there's, 9 of us or so. And we do still run the newsletter 3 days a week. We have like you said, the Friday Golf podcast, the Shotgun Start podcast. Shotgun Start is 3 days a week. Friday Golf is normally 2 days a week. We also run a website, and we do events all throughout the country, and have a kind of membership that we started recently for the real diehards who just want more golf and all the time. And yeah, it's been I started about 3 years ago, and kind of grew from just kind of handling random things here and there to now kind of run the merchandise and contribute with editorial work and whatnot. So it's been a fun ride, kind of seeing it grow and us expand our team. And yeah, it's a blast.
You guys do a great job, and I listen to every show and read every newsletter, so
Love
some of my
it.
favorites. And Meg, I wanted to have you on. You're very in tune with the women's game, both at the LPGA level and the amateur game. And we've got the Augusta National Women's Amateur coming up this weekend. This is what year five of the amateur,
Yeah, year five.
and it has quickly become, gosh, the first or second, women's, or biggest event in women's golf at the amateur level. And I think you could argue that it's probably the biggest event in women's golf just because of where it's at and being televised, and it gets way more press than any probably any other women's event there is, right?
Yeah, I was watching the coverage today, and it was so, just turn it on and it's right there for you. There's no Peacock, there's no tape delay, which is unfortunately kind of what you get even with some of the bigger women's professional tournaments. So to your point, yeah, the coverage, especially early round coverage in a lot of women's pro events, is not ideal. And so to your point, just with the Augusta stamp there, it elevates it to, really top tier. And yeah, it was super nice watching all the shots and the coverage. And they've got, Golf Channel's got people on site at Champions Retreat these first two rounds today and tomorrow. And yeah, it's been very cool to see it grow over the 5 years. And you have, the name recognition, the gals who are playing in their third, fourth, or fifth at this point. And it's kind of come into its own, and it's now kind of becoming a tradition, like the big tournament after 5 years now.
So we're taping on Wednesday. The show airs on Saturday. So give us a rundown of the format and kind of the schedule for the week.
Sure. Yeah. So right now, this is Wednesday afternoon. There, action is happening at Champions Retreat, which is, just outside of Augusta. So they'll play today, Wednesday, and tomorrow, Thursday, 18 holes, and then there'll be a cut. So a 36-hole cut to about 35 girls after the first two rounds. Friday is a practice round at Augusta National for all participants. So you don't have to make the cut to kind of get a practice round and get to experience Augusta National and play it with there's teammates and friends. And it's a Friday's kind of a cool thing from covering it last year. It's a kind of they get to have a few guests walk the course with them, family, and you can just tell it's a really special experience for everyone. So after that little break, that little breather, the final round is at Augusta National on Saturday. And yeah, after 54 holes, we'll crown another ANWA winner.
That's cool. And how do the ladies qualify for the ANWA?
Yeah, there's a number. It's when you kind of look up on the ANWA website, which is a wonderful website, provides a brief biography for every player. If you're familiar with the Masters website and the Masters app experience, they've kind of replicated that, a lot of it, for ANWA. but it's a number of qualification ways to qualify, you know, performances in the other top tier amateur tournaments is probably the most popular ones. And then that, I mean, that's really the big one. You know, the US Women's Am, the US Junior Am, all of those kind of fill in this field. And then they also have, you know, top categories from collegiate golf as well. So you get, as well as the international amateur events too, you get a very, a lot of international players from all over, which replicates the Masters effort with the Latin America Amateur Championship, the Asia Pacific Amateur, to kind of globalize these tournaments. And you'll see a lot of international names at ANWA this year too.
So last year's champion, Rose Zhang, who's arguably the best lady amateur in history, turned pro last summer, right after shortly after the ANWA, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so she is not in the field, but give us a rundown of some of the players that you think are going to be the top contenders this week.
Yeah, certainly a different feel. Rose Zhang was the outright favorite by far, just with her incredible record last year. But it's every year it's the best of the best. So some names you might recognize if you kind of watched in previous years. Anna Davis is back as a returning champion. You have Amelia Migliaccio is the only player that's played in all five. She'll be there. Jensen Castle, Rachel Keane. So if you're familiar with kind of the top collegiate tiers, you'll recognize those names. Stanford, Rose Zhang is still attending school, not a alum just yet. They have, I think, nine total from current and to-be Cardinal, future Cardinal. So tons of Stanford is well represented there. But some that I'm kind of keeping an eye on that are outside of those names. Ingrid Lindblad is up there at the top of the leaderboard as we speak. She was second. She's been in second in two of these. This is her fourth. Last year, she did not have a very good day at Augusta National on Saturday. So she's up there. She's an LSU standout, just very impressive player. I'll be keeping an eye on her. And then there's some really young players there. Ayla Galitsky is a 17-year-old from Thailand. She played in the Thailand LPGA event earlier this year. So I'll be keeping an eye on her. She's currently at the top of the leaderboard as well. But yeah, there's a ton of just incredible the records when you go to the, I recommend going to the ANWA website and you read these biographies, and it's just the best of the best. These accolades that they come in with is incredible. So those are just a couple names, but I would be surprised if we don't see kind of, especially come Saturday, with those who have played previous Saturday final rounds at Augusta National, if we don't see those kind of players elevate and be towards the top, like the Ingrid Lindblad, like Anna Davis, Mega Gane. We had her on the Friday golf podcast. She's been in a number of these. And I think I can only imagine for the first timers, Augusta National on Saturday, if you make the cut, how intimidating that is from not only just being on the course, but the crowds are massive. And the same thing goes for the Masters, you know, is Fuzzy still the last first time winner at the Masters? Uh-huh. So uh-huh. It takes a little bit of experience. And we've seen that on Saturday, kind of some struggles. Rose, you know, kind of stumbled at the finish last year. And it's a place where experience matters. So we'll see as the ANWA matures and grows, we'll see if, you know, we start getting some winners who have played in previous ANWAs.
Yeah, that experience has to be a huge, huge role. So tough for a first timer. Anna Davis is how old now? Is she a freshman in college this year?
Yeah, she's a freshman. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so she was, yeah, I think she had just turned 17 when she won, or maybe it was even, I think she just turned 17 when she won. So yeah, the youth is, the youth is wild. And then you like, again, with the biographies, you look up these birthdays and it's like, wow, makes you feel real quick. So.
And what do you think of Rachel Heck's chances? She just made a big announcement that she was not going to turn pro. And you know, one of the best players in college golf over the last three or four years, and has had some injuries and some struggles in the last year. But great, I mean, she's an incredible player. And if it wasn't for Rose Zhang, she would have had a even more incredible college career.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think to the experience is so important. And so I think when I was watching earlier, she was hovering right around even par. So, so, you know, doing just fine for most likely having some rest there, with the injuries and whatnot. I mean, they're in their season. Stanford is, but I believe she hasn't really played a whole lot. Hasn't been in the top, you know, players qualifying for Stanford's tournaments right now. But yeah, I mean, she had a crazy injury. She had a rib actually removed last year. So she was not in the field last year. Had qualified, would have been up there with Rose, you know, as one of the favorites. And hopefully, I mean, she's a ton of talent, a really unique story with not only the Stanford career, but very active in the ROTC scene there as well. So I think she's doing all right. Probably just trying to steady the ship, kick off some rest, and not, you know, you can't win the tournament the first day, but you can certainly lose it. And as long as you're hovering around that top 35 after Champions Retreat, with how kind of in the past, how bunched up that leaderboard is, you know, if you get to Saturday and post a number, you may be in there. That's what we saw with Anna Davis. You know, she was not in those final groups, and she posted her number and watched everybody else kind of stumble at the finish. So I'm sure she wants to play Saturday at Augusta, and you know, so far so good on that path.
You know, Caitlin Clark in Iowa women's basketball is been huge for women's sports in general in the last 6 months or a year or whatever. And I saw the ratings for the last couple, the Sweet 16 games have been higher than like just about any other broadcast other than NFL football in the last however many years. You know, how do you think that effect's going to spill over into women's golf?
Yeah, I think that LSU Iowa game on Monday was like almost 24 million, which like, and then the tweet I saw about it was a very long list of things that outranked. So yeah, the Caitlin Clark mania does not show any signs of slowing down. And to your point, it's yeah, I think we're seeing a lot of that in women's sports, not only from college basketball, but you know, soccer is making the NWSL is really chugging along with their kind of new leadership in the past couple years. You know, remember a couple of years back, the Nebraska women's volleyball game at the football stadium that set the world record for, you know, whatever it was, 90,000 plus. So yeah, it's all, I'm excited to see those headlines, you know, not just being in my little kind of sports bubble, but in the main, you know, conversation. I think, you know, like when Rose won her first pro start, she was on the Today Show the next day. And so that type of, you know, general mass population exposure just does wonders for women's sport, which in general just gets a little slice of the pie as in the form of media coverage. But yeah, Caitlin Clark's, you know, a golfer herself. And I'm hoping she's sponsored by Gainbridge, which hosts an LPGA event in the fall. And if we don't align our stars there and get her in like the pro-am, what are we doing? But yeah, she's probably going to be, you know, maybe if she's got some downtime on Saturday, she's probably gonna be tuning in to the ANWA. So yeah, it's been fun. I haven't watched I've watched more women's basketball in the past like 3 years than probably most of my life. And that's just Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, for sure. You know, along the lines of the LPGA, unfortunately, the LPGA does not get the coverage that it deserves or should, and especially the times that it's on and the delays and all that. But I think the LPGA is in a great place right now with Nelly Korda winning three events in a row. I think that's what the LPGA Tour needs because of some name recognition. And where do you see the rest of the LPGA season going? What's your...
Yeah, it's just been a phenomenal start for the LPGA. You cannot draw what's happened up better. And there's parallels there with Caitlin Clark because, you know, the coverage is the coverage, what it is right now. We can't change what's happening right now. But when you get that superstar player that becomes the, I can't miss her games or her playing or whatever it may be, when they get to that can't miss category, must see TV, that's when it's okay. Then you start seeing the network stepping up and maybe expanding the window for a tournament Nelly's in or bumping something else that they have on the schedule that day to make that easier for people to watch. If the LPGA could get on NBC, CBS more often, that would be huge just because Golf Channel does get buried a little bit. Peacock, certainly, it gets buried in there. But for as much as, you know, last year it was fun seeing like Lily Avu have her breakout season and win two majors, I think what's best for the LPGA right now to kind of expand their reach and to hopefully have some leverage with investors, with the broadcast, with if they're going to try and change their media rights deal, it's best for them to have a superstar and a dominant player, especially one that's as marketable as Nelly Korda is. So it's a great week for golf with Anwa and with Nelly trying to go for four. So plenty to tune into.
And you know, Rose Zhang got off to such a great start, such a fast start on the LPGA Tour. And, you know, she had an okay year after that last year and hasn't played great this year. What do you think is what's the issue there? Is it because she's still going to school? Is it, you know, just too much too soon? Or what do you feel like is?
I think a lot of it's just that rust because she is still doing school on site at Stanford.
Yeah.
So she, if you saw her in the match, down at Florida with Rory and Max and Lexi, she mentioned kind of offhand after a shot that wasn't so great that she really hadn't picked up a club in a month or so. So she's really not a full-time LPGA player right now. Yeah. She's a part-time player and a part-time student. I'd expect her to kind of kick off that rust and hopefully find a good groove here the rest of the summer as she is playing in events back to back and kind of hopefully getting in a rhythm there. College golf is college golf. That's a big step up from that to the LPGA, even for someone with her accolades and with her talent. But I hope from the marketability of the LPGA, from just her name recognition for what she did at Anwa and then rolling out, you know, winning her first start after that, maybe that kind of set the expectations a little too high and there's a little bit of an adjustment there. But as she kind of gets into more of a regular schedule, playing, you know, events in a row and playing a similar frequency as her fellow LPGA players, I think she'll do just fine the rest of the summer.
Yeah. Well, great stuff, Meg. Well, we really appreciate you coming on the show and look forward to the weekend here at the Anwa and next week at the Masters. And hopefully we can have you back on later in the summer to check in a little bit.
Absolutely. This is really fun. I am I'm looking forward to getting up in your guys' parts again later this summer. So hopefully we can meet up in person then too.
Yeah, but
this is a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you, Meg.
Yeah, thanks very much, Meg. We sure appreciate it.
Very welcome. Thanks, Colin.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ and 105.1 FM, streaming at KLIZ.com. Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley, Colin McDonald with you. 1380 KLIZ, The Fan, 105.1 FM, also streaming at KLIZ.com. And find our podcasts wherever you find your podcasts at Lakes, Woods, and Irons. Show brought to you in part today by Holiday Stores in Cross Lake, Mill Avenue, and Excelsior Road, and Shannon's Auto Body with a brand new location in East Brainerd to better serve their customers. Chris, I'll let you handle the introduction of our old friend.
Yeah, I want to welcome back to the show one of our many time guests, good friend of the show, Madden's on Gull Lake Instructor of Golf, Glenn Hagberg. Glenn, welcome back.
Well, thanks, Chris. Thanks, Mac. Thanks for having me and good to be here.
First show of the season. Always a good week because it's Masters Week.
That's right. Well, little tease. So far, it was nice to see a few rounds of golf being played in the Brainerd Lakes area in February and March. And then just when I was beginning to have my doubts that we were going to get the spring snowstorm, we got it. So,
oh, boy.
You've always got good legs at the beginning of the season because of hockey, Glenn. Everybody, look at the legs on that guy.
Yeah, I got a little skating in this winter, so
I'll bet.
Glenn, golf season upon us. Had a little bit of setback with the snow. Not going to get open quite as early around the Brainerd Lakes area as we had wished or anticipated. But kind of give us the opening information for Madden's.
Yeah, well, looking at the 10-day forecast as of today, it looks like next week is going to be real nice for the upcoming week. And so we locked into the West Course opening for the season on Friday, April 12th here. So we're looking forward to that. And hopefully we get some good weather in April and get rocking and rolling there. And then the East Course, Pine Beach East, will stick to a pretty normal opening date when the resort opens, which is Friday, April 26th. And then the Classic will open on the next Friday, May 3rd for the season. So that's our opening dates. And then I think we'll chat about it a little bit, but we got a real nice project that we're pretty excited about out on the driving range. And so looks like the driving range, our airport driving, which is a nice practice facility for people in the local area, will open this year on Friday, April 26th. So a little later than normal with some of the work that we're doing out there.
Yeah, give us a rundown on that. So we open it a little later. We usually try to open that a little earlier, but it's a project that I am extremely excited about. So tell us about that.
Yeah, normally that is the first golf balls that are airborne most years at that location right there. But credit goes to our superintendent, Tanner Schoenfelder, who's starting his second season. And he has led the charge on doing a pretty big revamp, redo over at our airport driving range. He's got some tractors and bulldozers coming next week to do a lot of the big work. But the biggest thing with that project is we are putting in a new well so that we can fully irrigate that entire driving range. So it is going to be green wall to wall. And then we are going from 5 target greens to 17 different target greens. There'll be 12 target greens of different shapes and sizes, all within 100 yards for wedge play. There'll be a fairway cut through the middle of it. There'll even be some bunkering out there to give some nice visuals. So, it'll surely be a big improvement to what we have. And, will keep the range balls in real nice condition throughout the course of the year with having it being fully air graded and grass throughout. And then we'll provide some really, really nice variety from every spot of the existing tee that's over there. Depending on what the wind direction is and what part of the tee you're hitting on to really kind of work on your game and hit different shots. So
I just wish I had a teacher who could show me how to hit a wedge, Glenn. I guess I do.
tough to find her on here, Mac.
So Chris, you're involved in that project. Did anything that I missed in view of the project?
Well, I'm very excited about it. I really think it's going to be one of the best ranges that's accessible for people, not only in the area, but the state. And, everything that we're doing has been very well thought out and done with a purpose. So we're not just throwing targets out there. They're at set yardages, the size of the greens are built with intent. We're putting multiple pins in the green. So, depending on where you're hitting from on the tee, there'll always be a pin at about 150 yards, for instance, or at set yardages. And the short game targets are smaller. And, it'll really allow you to practice with a purpose and an intent and create a great practice environment, which, one of the things that I always talk about on the show is, in talking about practice, I always jokingly say, are you exercising or are you practicing? And most people go to the range and they exercise because they're just beating balls and not, with no intent. But what we're creating is a situation where people can practice with a lot of intent, have specific targets, it looks like you're hitting down a fairway when you're hitting drivers and those type of things. So it's going to be a very exciting project.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Glenn, how about what else you got going on this spring at Madden's?
Well, I think the thing that just makes it, it's always an exciting time of year. It's so much more fun when there's people around. But the beginning of the golf season is always fun, and the absence of something makes the heart grow fonder. So it's fun to get things going. But for sure this year the stuff that Tanner and his guys have been working on is really exciting to see that kind of coming to fruition. So some of the things that we've done and been doing over on the West course, we put up a new car or built a really nice new cart barn over there last year, that you see right when you pull in. Right at the very end of last season, we got our tunnel into play that goes underneath County Road 77 from one green to two tee, and then from eight green back to nine. With that project, we built two new tee boxes that give the second hole over there a whole new look, which is pretty nice. Did some nice work in the clubhouse over there this year, redid the men's and women's bathrooms. East course, course last year we had our big deck project, and boy, if people didn't get up to visit the restaurant and the deck, kind of watch golf as it's being played, definitely have to do that because that was really a hit. It was a spot that really had a pretty cool vibe last year. But with that was real improvements around the first, 10th, 18th holes with new tee boxes, new tee box surfaces, new cart baths, new landscaping. And then the biggest stuff is over on the Classic. A lot of thinning out of areas, some cleaning up around the water edges, that really opened up a lot of sight lines and brought some of the vistas of the golf course back into view, which is really some of the things that I think, it's such a unique piece of property with some just stunning views as you look across but that's also going to allow for more air movement, more sunlight, better turf conditions. We're doing a lot of other things to just make the golf course improve the turf conditions and make things play fast and firm. And then, you know, we're investing in the golf course as it's 27 years old now. So this past off season, we are redoing 23 bunkers with Ohio Best white sand, which is what we're known for, and redoing the edges on several of those bunkers. And then we did new tee boxes on 2 and 17 this past fall, as, you know, kind of a test plot for redoing all of our tee boxes, which the plan as it exists right now is that we're going to by the spring of 2025, all of the tee boxes on the Classic will have been redone. So quite a bit going on around the golf courses, putting in pine straw in some of the areas. But yeah, a lot to be excited about around the golf courses for sure. So.
Without a doubt, with all that work, you probably have to go have a cheeseburger sometimes, don't you, Glenn?
Well, it's funny you should mention that. Yeah, the classic grill and Chef Daryl are doing their thing that they're known so well for, and we've had a good winter here and been open all winter now with seems like a few more people in the Brainerd Lakes area and the East Gull Lake area. So yeah, had a good winter at the restaurant, and the Classic Grill is open for dinner now this time of year, and then when the resort opens on April 26th, the fairways will be open along with the 19th hole, the 19th hole deck, and then a little bit later in May, I believe around Memorial Weekend, is when Mission Point will be open, which has become a pretty nice spot on the lake. So yeah.
That 19th hole deck quickly became one of my wife and I's go-to spot. We had many dinners on that, and a fantastic view of the lake and the sunsets and looking over the golf course. And it's, like you said, it's a great vibe there, Glenn.
Yeah. I think the best part of our plan with putting in that new deck was to have it 70 to 75 degrees and sunny every evening out there last year.
Exactly.
That was a good plan.
I hope you're in charge of weather again this year. Glenn, great stuff. We appreciate you coming on as always, and looking forward to a great golf season. Before we go, you got any Masters picks for us?
Ooh, yeah, I got to be honest, Chris. I'm just getting out of hockey season, so my head's transitioning to golf. Scotty Scheffler's been pretty good. Is he going to win?
Well, it's hard to bet against him, especially if he has a good putting week. Yeah. And word on the street is Rory McIlroy's been working with Butch Harmon the last 10 days or so. So, Rory's so good. I mean, even at his worst, he's a top 10 player in every event. But he's always my favorite, even though he may not it's been a while since he pulled one off, but hard to bet against Scotty Scheffler. It'll be very interesting to see how John Rahm does coming in. And
I gotta remember that you're gonna ask me for my picks for the upcoming weekend. So I gotta somehow set a reminder to check with Jeff.
There you go. That's right. Yeah. So.
And probably be pretty accurate.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, who do you like in the NCAA hockey tournament, Glenn?
Oh, now we're talking. Yeah, boy. Well, yeah, it's hard to that's four perennial good teams in the final. So I'll go I was hoping Michigan State was gonna get in there. Do you know who's playing in the first round of the final four? I can't remember if I got it lined up right. I guess I'll pull from, I like the West. I'm going to pull for Denver.
Yeah, we're not rooting for Boston College. We know that. Lenny, thanks for taking the time. We sure appreciate it. We'll have you on throughout the year. And, man, it sounds like all kinds of great things are happening at Madden's.
Yeah, fun. And that's not even the best. We got the junior golfers coming. That's where the real fun is. Yeah, no, it'll be a great year. Another good year.
Len Hagberg, Director of Golf at Madden's on Golf. You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ and 105.1 FM, also streaming at KLIZ.com.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley. Colin McDonald with you, 1380 KLIZ, The Fan, and 105.1 FM, also streaming at KLIZ.com. And find our podcast at Lakes, Woods, and Irons. We're also going to have an app this year on KLIZ, which we'll be asking you to download, and we'll be able to contest a little more often. That'll be fun. Show brought you away in part by Whitefish Golf Course in Pequot Lakes, an experience that never disappoints. One of the area's premier 18-hole championship courses, and the T-Hive custom apparel for your business, event, team, or family, online at T-Hive.com. Chris, great first show. You really lined up some good guests for us. Appreciate it.
Well, fun to get going again, Mac, and had a couple great guests with Meg and Glenn there today.
Yeah, Meg Atkins from the Fried Egg, and man, Glenn was a laundry list of things going on at Madden's. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's fun to be involved with, and one of the things I love about Mads is they're always trying to get better and always trying to improve the product. So it's going to be a great year.
You've been to Augusta many times this time of year, Chris, and you know a little bit about how the weather's been out there so far this year. What do you think of conditions for Augusta coming up?
You know, it sounds like the golf course is in it's always in great shape, but you know, the past several years they've had a lot of rain prior to the tournament and during the tournament, and you know, I think the extended forecast is pretty good. It's not great, but the weather leading up to the tournament has been very good, and it's they've had enough moisture but not too much, and you know, the weather temperature wise has been pretty good, so it's you know, the azaleas should be in full bloom, and the golf course, you know, they always want it firm, and it looks like it's playing fairly firm, and you know, watching just a little bit of the Augusta Women's Amateur on TV today, we're recording on Wednesday, you know, it looks fantastic, like it always does, but it should hopefully it stays rain free, and that golf course really lends itself to when it's firm and fast.
You've talked in the past quite a bit, Chris, about the workout that Augusta National is for the players, and I wonder if the ladies are having the same surprise of how physical the course is.
Yeah, you know, the first couple rounds on Champions Retreat, that golf course doesn't have nearly the elevation change that Augusta National does, and you know, Champions Retreat is a really cool place. It's 27 holes, and I'm not sure which nines they're playing, but it's called Champions Retreat because they have Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and Gary Player each did one nine there.
Oh,
and it's one of the great hangouts during Masters Week. They've got fantastic homes and cottages around it. It is definitely one of the best. If you can get invited to a party at Champions Retreat during the week, it's definitely a great place to hang out. So it'll be interesting to see how the women play there again, and you know, who gets to play on the weekend.
Then on the men's side of things, we should probably make a pick or two. I know last year the Live Boys were a little surprising. They came in and I think they got three of the first four spots, and the guy who won it, John Rahm, moved over there after that. So I'm sure the PGA boys want to put on a good showing.
Yeah, it's you know, it's hard to tell who's playing well on Live because they haven't had many events, and it's hard to follow it. So
yeah, it is. Yeah,
but you know, I would say Rahm's definitely one of the favorites coming in, and you know, like we were talking with Glenn, it's hard to not pick Scottie Scheffler, and Rory McIlroy, you know, it seems like he hasn't had a good year, but he's still, you know, the number two or three ranked player in the world. So, you know, I hope he's in the right frame of mind. That's what he's my favorite and always my pick. But, you know, my kind of my dark horse, Mac, is, you know, first-year player Ludvig Egberg. I mean, he has a perfect game for Augusta because he's so long. And
is he the great big tall guy?
Yeah, you know, he played so well. He was the rookie in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And, you know, won his rookie year on tour. And, you know, he had a good fall last year. He played okay here in the spring. And but, you know, his game is made for Masters. And I'd be surprised if, you know, over the next 10 years, if he doesn't collect, you know, 5, 6, 7 majors, you know. So it's as always, it's going to be a great week.
Last year, my favorite 50-year-old left-hander finished second, which is a lot to ask out of a 53-year-old, I know. But and he tied with Koepka for second last year. That was quite a match between Rahm and Koepka.
Yeah, who knows how Mickelson is playing? He certainly, that was the highlight of his year last year.
It was, yeah.
did not perform well following that.
No, he didn't. No.
And it's hard to say how he's playing currently.
Seems like that tour, Rahm and Koepka and Joaquin Niemann, maybe he might be a dark horse. He's having a terrific year.
Well, and you know, Taylor Gooch got in late.
Yeah.
On a special invitation, and he's certainly, you know, on LIV, he's had the best over the past 18 months. He's played the best of anybody on the LIV tour.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, we threw a few names out there. One of them will probably win.
Usually my predictions do not hold true. So, so if you're betting, pick somebody else.
All right, Chris, we're off and running. Thanks for taking the time, my friend.
Thank you, Mac. We'll see you soon.
You've been listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ and 105.1 FM and streaming at KLIZ.com.